Welcome to Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7 Newark Heath, brought to you by Licking County Transit, safely connecting people and places and possibilities. Dave Doney, Joel Riley, our special guest today is Doug Moran with the Heise Wind Ensemble. And Doug, it's already gotten kind of ugly in here. I was telling you, we're going down to Key West for our vacation here on Saturday. You said you've been down there. It's a fun place, but what happens in Key West, Doug, stays in Key West.
I'm very glad to hear that.
Spoken like a man who knows. Now, are you kind of vacation, get me to the tropics kind of a guy, get me somewhere, or will you? Now, Joel loves to go. Yeah, he'll go anywhere. He likes to go climbing in the mountains and those kind of things.
Adirondack.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. But are you more
Rockies?
Yep. See, are you more tropical vacation?
No,
guy?
No. We go anywhere. In fact, we've been to all 48 contiguous states in the United States. We haven't been to Alaska and Hawaii. We've been to the other 48.
That's strong.
Favorite place?
Grand Canyon.
Really? Now, have you done the down and in and all that kind of stuff?
We went down to two checkpoints, the Angel Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went two checkpoints, and my son and I decided, you know, we have to walk back uphill. And they have crazy squirrels there. If you stop to have a snack, the squirrels come right up to you, try to take your food. It's great.
I used to have them come in our house when we were kids.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I actually had to call the fire department to help us get them out of good old 535 Roslyn Avenue in Akron. All right, so you got the Grand Canyon. Anywhere else that you would suggest?
We really enjoyed the Upper Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Montana, South and North Dakota, all those places up there with the national parks.
Mm.
Crater Lake. There's just a whole collection of national parks that are just a blast to go to. Moab,
mm-hmm.
Arches National Park. So, and then a quick plug for Maine. Maine was great.
My brother loves it up there.
Yeah.
He's gone the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Wouldn't recommend going there now.
No.
Kinda
no.
A little snowy.
There's
about 3 feet of snow there right now.
We went in the summer.
Yeah. Good for you.
Smart man.
Very smart.
When you travel, do you try to go to concerts and stuff to see other, you know, nothing like that, huh? You turn that all off.
Well, we could, but the research it takes to find something that you're interested in takes forever.
Mm-hmm.
So we were on our honeymoon 40 years ago, and we went to Cincinnati, my wife and I, and we actually looked through the little brochure, and we ended up going to a Cincinnati Symphony concert. Probably haven't done that since.
No, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, not because the symphony was great, but we're doing other things.
Yeah, I was going to say that wasn't a really great advertisement for Cincinnati.
Listen. Oh, no.
Went once, that was it.
No.
Wife said, we're never doing this again.
No more honeymoons.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you're talking about. I'll get you out of trouble then.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Heise Wind Ensemble, you got a big concert coming up. Let's let everybody know what's taking place.
Oh, thank you. We have a Heise Wind Ensemble concert this Saturday, February the 28th. It's at the Reese Center on the OSU Newark COTC campus. It starts at 7:30. And Dr. Mickelson has programmed something called Band Classics, Old and New. Now, I can talk about the old. Maybe you could talk about the new. But just kidding. It's going to be a great concert. We had a rehearsal last night, another one on Friday night. The band is smoking. The
mm-hmm.
band is really playing.
So let's talk a little bit about what some of the music folks will hear if they come to this concert on Saturday.
Total of four pieces. The first piece is a single movement. The other three are multi-movement pieces, meaning there are multiple movements in the piece. And two by a man named Alfred Reed, one of the stalwarts of the concert band genre. He published over 250 works for concert band. And we're going to do two of his pieces, one called The Hounds of Spring, which is based on a poem, ironically called The Hounds of Spring. and then we're going to do his first suite for band. And we were playing that last night, and he's a composer, not a linguist. So his first movement is called March.
Mm-hmm.
His second movement is called Melody. And his third movement is called Rag, which is a hoot. And then the fourth movement is called Gallop, which actually he was able to create from within a concert band the sound of a calliope.
Mm.
And so all of a sudden the piece is flying along, And this calliope comes from the stage. It's wild. Mm. It's just wild. And then we're doing another piece by another, and these are all American composers. It just happens to be that way. There are fine British and other countries composers. But
yeah, you've already made the Cincinnati Symphony, man.
Yeah,
don't make our friends.
But I do have a connection to that. But
I was trying to make international enemies.
That's
now.
Right.
Yeah, now I'm in trouble. Robert Sheldon, he's a composer that's he's probably in his 70s now. Oh, by the way, Alfred Reed is deceased. But Robert Sheldon, he wrote a piece called A Longford Legend, and you're going to be surprised to hear this, but it's based on a poem called
Longford
Legend. Yes, yes.
Starting to get a theme here, Joel.
And Irish. They're Irish pieces, and it's a lot of fun. Hmm. But the big tour de force is a piece called Symphony Number 4. Now, that's a pretty catchy title.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by a guy named James Stephenson. And James Stephenson, ironically, here's the connection to Cincinnati Symphony, and this is just totally wild. James Stephenson was a trumpet player in the Naples Philharmonic down in Naples, Florida, when Eric Kunzel, the former Pops conductor of the Cincinnati Symphony, was also the Pops conductor of the Naples Philharmonic. And James Stephenson started doing arranging for the orchestra at the encouragement of Eric Kunzel. And then he refined it. And now he's a full-time composer going great guns. And this piece is amazing. And he's the youngest of all of our composers. So he lives in Chicago now. Got out of that Naples stuff.
Yeah. I'm not sure I would have done that.
Yeah, I know.
So I got to ask, you know, band classics, old and new. Now, Dave and I will occasionally, because, you know, in sports, because of TV, ESPN influence and all that, there's instant classics. Like, did you see the game last night? It's an instant classic, and they'll replay it and review it and talk about that. And here's, how do you know a new piece is a classic? Is it overall like everybody's like, hey, this is a classic, or is it just nuanced enough where some people pick up on it and otherwise?
Probably the same way the sports play becomes a classic. People see it, people hear it, and they immediately form an opinion that, man, that is great. I want to hear that again. I want to play that again. That's going to go far. Or they go, oh boy, that's going to go back on the shelf and never be seen again, right? Not all these are going to be played again, they've been played. In fact, the Wind Ensemble in the past, we were 41 years old, so we've actually played three of these pieces, but a long time ago.
Okay.
And then the James Stephenson, it was actually published in 2023. It's new.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
so
new.
It's a new classic. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Cool.
No doubt.
But we rely on Dr. Mickelson's opinion and directive for what's a classic in this case. And I think he nailed it.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
He's been doing it a couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, are there times, though, when you sit there and you go, no, this is not going to work? But he says, yes, it is, and we're going to get it there. I mean, do you have those artistic differences?
Well, okay, so I can take your question two different ways. One is, let's say we're reading it for the first time, and the band just doesn't get it, right? The band, oh my gosh, there's no way we're ever going to be able to play this. We have that side, and yeah, he makes it happen. We play it, and we play it really well. But there's the other side of that going, why in the world is this piece on our stands?
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times you work your way through that. I remember distinctly a couple concerts ago going, yeah, I don't like this piece. And by the end, by the sixth rehearsal, I'm like, wow, you know, I judged too soon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just a simple trombone player. So what do I know?
You know quite a bit.
I don't know.
Well, and two, I mean, one of the things, I mean, I grew up kind of, you know, in the band area. And one of the things that's always struck me about band people is they generally have a decent sense of humor. And I don't know if it's the human brain, the way music kind of wires you up, where you have to be a little more responsive, a little quicker, you know, hey, you get that direction right in your face, so I better act to it. You know, so you just become a little more adept at that. It's got to be a great environment, the musician's environment.
Yeah, it's really fun to sit in all the different ensembles that I sit in and play, because they all have their own personality, mm-hmm. and they're all different, and they're all a collection of the combined personalities of the 6 or 70 or 80 people on stage. And you got to have a thick skin as a musician. This is the greatest. I just saw this the other day to remind me, in what other profession does someone take a $50,000 car and put a $5,000 instrument in it to go play a $50 gig.
Thanks for ruining it.
Right. I mean, think about
it. That's not sense of humor screaming out at you. I don't know what is.
That is hilarious.
I mean, think about it. I mean, people, I mean, it doesn't pay all that much if you're, you know, the only people making a living are the rock stars and then the, and some country stars, and then a handful of the people in the big symphonies. You know, they're doing well, but they hold on to those jobs 30-40 years because they know what they have, and everyone else, I mean, there is so much talent out there today, musician wise. It's, you know, I've been doing this for 40-50 years, and there is more talent out there today than there has ever been in my lifetime.
Why do you think that is? Do you think parents have just said, hey kids, because, you know, when I grew up, it was baseball, football. I mean, it was all the sports. Sure, go do this. My brother was huge into farming. I know he's laughing over here because he knows how I'm a city boy, but horticulture, my brother just loved it, working with his hands. What is it then? What do you think has made this so much, as you said, more talent out there? Is it folks are just letting their kids try different things, or is it just, hey, they want, there's artistic kids out there, they want an avenue?
Both of those are accurate. I think that the musicians... people become musicians because they love it, but typically, but not always, musicians are the best at math. But if you look at most school districts, the musicians, the kids in the band and orchestra program, and in some many cases the choir, they're the ones that the teachers, the academic and the intramural and the club, they go after those kids because they know that they will do a good job, that they will show up, that they will commit to what they say they will do, and that's what happens. They just become overloaded, and they got to say, "Oh wait, you know, I want to do A, B, and C, but not D." And there are other kids that are involved in those things, but not with the same depth of knowledge that the kids coming in from the band program or from the orchestra program, the choir program. All good kids, but I think that and we have access to better instruments, and we have a whole history of technique of developing the musician. Used to be you went and studied with someone on your given instrument of choice in the instrumental world, and they just kind of they mentored you. But now we have a lot of fields of study that have been developed, and you first year you do this, and second year you do that, and third year you do this, and for the most part it's worked. Not for everybody, but you know, it's just crazy.
Are you saying today's trombone is easier to play than yesterday's trombone?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that right?
But it's different. I just,
you know, like, what is, they update the spit valve? I mean, what are we talking about?
Oh, better cork. It's better cork. ironically, I went to Elkhorn, Wisconsin this summer and had my trombone worked on. I bought it in 1992, and some things weren't working right from this company up there. It's their handmade, you know, custom instruments. And they did some work on it and sold me some things. Took my credit card, you know.
Right.
And my goodness, this horn is a totally different instrument. And it's easier to play. It's easier to get it to do what I want it to do. Now, not everyone has these instruments, but even the student horns, I think function better. They aren't made better. They don't have better quality material, but they function better for design changes.
Well, there's definitely, you know, there's definitely in every band, you know, high school band, not at your level, but a high school band, there are note hitters, you know, people that play it technically. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But then there are other people who actually interpret the music, feel the music, really perform the music.
And that is the hardest thing to teach. Musicality is the hardest thing to teach. And you try and try and try, and what's really cool when you're teaching kids is you see the light bulb go off over their head. All of a sudden, they play a phrase or an etude or a solo, and it happens. And there's not a magic formula to that. Some people will say, "Oh yeah, they can do this. I can teach kids to do this." No, they can't.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the kid has to absorb it, develop it, process it, hear it, and
But Doug, I've heard that so many times before from folks. Hey, I can play the notes. I can't make the music. I've heard folks say that. I've heard people saying, I can sing, but I can't make the music. I mean, so there is something. I mean, to me, there is something to that. People can want to do it. But for some, they just can't get it to the level that you're looking for.
Yeah, it depends on whether it's organic in them or if they're imitating.
Yeah.
And then that's the key. I growing up, I had an aunt that told me that, you know, oh, well, you're a Moran, so you have music in you. And I'm like, what's that mean?
Came out with the toe tapping.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Right on.
I want to play something. Let's go. Hey, I want to go back to Dr. Sure. Mickelson. I mean, how much fun is it to have him around to do this? Because, again, I mean, folks know the name Ohio State and all that, but that's a pretty good get for the Heisey Wind Ensemble, is it not, to have that man of that stature there?
We are so fortunate. I need to double-check my date here. Yeah, he's been our conductor since 2002. Mm-hmm. So he's been with us a long time. And it was I think it's just a testament to the Heisey Wind Ensemble. We started in 85, our first conductor, Lon Cass, was with us for 10 years. And on year 11, we were fortunate to have a man named Rick Blatty. And Rick was the assistant director of bands at Ohio State. And he actually went on to become the director of the School of Music from that. But Rick was going to go away for a year, take a sabbatical, work on his PhD at the state up north. And he asked Russ if he would cover the year for him. And Russ said, well, sure. And Rick came back and he said, you know, I'm not sure that I want to continue to do that. I don't have time to do it. He has guest conducted many times since. And so we said, hey, Russ, would you be? He says, oh, absolutely. He said, and the reason that he said yes, he told us, was because of the people in the band. The environment that is there every Monday night, mm-hmm. and the relationships that he has, and mm-hmm. you know, I've known him now for, gosh, 30 years, mm-hmm. and it's crazy. He's just wonderful. He's consistent. He is so knowledgeable on band music and music in general, and he likes that we get his jokes.
Was he the $50,000, $5,000 instrument, $50 guy, or was that you?
Both. Russ grew up in Wisconsin playing in oompa bands and mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He talks about lutefisch, you know, all that good stuff, that fish that they make that's kind of nasty up there.
That's why I won't go to Wisconsin.
Don't go to Wisconsin.
Just give me cheese and beer, Doug, and I'm good. I don't need anything
else.
Well,
plus there's oompa bands.
Oompa bands. That's right. Yeah. You know what I also like about this is you try to get the kids involved. The tickets, if I'm not mistaken, $5 for students to come in. Are you seeing more young folks coming to these concerts, Doug?
Yes, and we also provide free student passes to all the band directors in the area. So when I say the area, I mean our county and the surrounding counties. We send those to them, and we have a number of band directors in the Heisey Wind Ensemble, and they encourage their kids to come. So I had the numbers from the last couple of concerts, and it's around 50 to 70 kids come every 50 to 70 student passes are handed in. Yes. That doesn't count the $5 ticket.
Right.
We have no idea, you know, how many of those.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that sophisticated. But they're coming, they're enjoying it, and the band directors are supporting it. Very fortunate.
You get a chance to play with some of these kids? I mean, do you guys do anything outside of the regular concerts with the kids?
Directly as a Heisey Wind Ensemble activity, no, but many of our folks go and help mm-hmm. help the schools. I just did three sessions with Granville High School to help them get ready for a contest next week, and the first weekend of March. So I got to know all the trombone players and the euphonium players, and we worked together three different times. And a lot of our members go in, especially our retired members, they make themselves available for the area schools to have area school band directors to have us come in to work sectionals with their kids.
Mm. So you're giving back, pay it forward.
Yeah.
I mean, you sound so excited.
That's, yeah. That, but I mean, that's so cool when you just think about it. Yeah. You know, someone of that level with that much experience coming in and working with kids right at the right time. I mean, that's like having an extra coach on the sideline. That's like, hey, we got a shooting coach. We got a dribbling coach. We got a timeout coach. We got trombones and euphoniums. This is the guy. Boom. Let's get worked up. That's awesome.
Don't forget the spit valve coach.
Right. You got to know when to let her rip.
Do it. Speaking of which, remind us again when the concert is and if folks want to get information with it. And this is just the beginning of the season. I mean, I want the beginning of season, but you got more concerts coming, correct?
We do. So this weekend, the 28th, is 7:30 p.m. at the Reese Center on the OSU Newark COTC campus. And then we have another concert on all of these. Both of these are at the Reese Saturday night, and the next two at the Reese Center, February 28th, this Saturday night, and then April 18th, we'll have our annual Evening at Pops concert, and then May 16th, we have the Heisman Ensemble Big Band, and it's like a Glenn Miller, Count Basie band that comes from within the Heisman Ensemble, and it is the Heisman Ensemble's turn this year to play for the July 3rd Independence Day concert and fireworks at the campus. So we'll be doing that on July 3rd at the Martha Grace Reese Amphitheater.
That is beautiful. Yeah. That is such a big night. So much fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fireworks. Fireworks. I wish the band could go set them off, but we can't.
On behalf of everyone in Central Ohio, glad you are not setting off.
Thank you, Fire Marshal, for putting the kibosh on that idea.
Here's all I know is if I see him get up halfway through that concert and walk back to where the fireworks are, I'm leaving.
Moran's got a lighter. Everybody run.
Run.
Actually, a former Newark High School band, tuba player, does the fireworks. He has since it started. John Brown.
Really?
John Brown, his lovely wife and their company, they take care of the fireworks.
I'll be
great
darned.
Folks.
Well, that's one musician I'm all right with. I don't want to see you back over there.
No.
Hey, if folks want information on the upcoming concert at any of these, where do they need to go?
Two different places, or three different places. They can go to www.heiseywindensemble.org. Heisey Wind Ensemble is all one word. They can look us up on Facebook. Just look up Heisey Wind Ensemble. Or they can call me at 344-8333, 740 area code.
Mm-hmm. A lot of threes in there.
It's the only way I can remember.
Well, Doug, as always, I appreciate you coming in. It's a lot of fun, the Heisey Wind Ensemble. And again, Newark Granville Symphony Orchestra, you're involved in that. I'm sure we'll be talking to you with those kind of things. But get out, enjoy it. It's called Band Classics, Old and New. Have some fun. Come out and check it out. Tickets are 15, 10, and 5, correct?
Correct, yes.
And only at the door.
Only at the door. We have a patron program, and we mail tickets to all those folks and that kind of thing. But we don't do we haven't gotten to the point where we sell them in advance. So, mm-hmm. Seniors are 10, mm-hmm. 60 years or older.
Yeah.
And I know you guys are not there.
One of us is, and one of us is knocking on the door. So I can tell you that.
And happy to save $5.
That's exactly right. One of us is cheap, Doug. One of us
good
is
for you.
Cheap.
Good for you.
Well, again, as always, I appreciate you coming in. It's Doug Moran with the Heisey Wind Ensemble. Be sure to join us on Friday on Talk of the Town, powered by Licking County Transit, as our special guest will be Brandy Alissa. She is the president, CEO, Habitat for Humanity, Mid-Ohio. Ohio.